It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Friday edition. Always nice on a Friday, huh? The Friday edition of It's Your Turn. We have open talk to begin the program today. Our phone number is 283-2525. 283-2525. We'll have guests later on the program today. We'll be talking with Liz Costendenu from WQED TV down in Pittsburgh, and Michelle Lesniak. She's from the South Butler Community Library. It's all about the XTO WQED Inquire Within program. So we'll find out all about that a little bit later on the program today. And also, Jody Dean joins us with some interesting advice about adopted kids and foster kids and what they deal with whenever they're moving into a new family. And she's written about that in a wonderful book. It's a picture book that you can read with a young person. It's very nice. It's all about Roxy, Roxy the dog. So that'll be coming up later on the program today. Open talk to begin with, 283-2525, our number, 283-2525. We were talking earlier in the week. I don't remember for sure what day it was. A couple of days ago, anyway, maybe longer. About gasoline companies and how I remarked don't seem to be as many of them as there used to be. And then we started talking about it. And one of the companies that came up was Valero. Valero with a V. I had never heard of it until a few years ago. And quite frankly, I heard of it first because they were sponsoring a golf tournament. I think it was down in Louisiana somewhere, which makes sense. A lot of refineries down there. The Valero Open or Valero Invitational or something like that. So I inquired as to whether or not there were any around here, any Valero stations. And indeed, there are. In fact, we had a call from an individual who said one of them is in Parker, at the end of the Parker Bridge, right next to the supermarket there. And I said, well, that's right. There's one in Zelianople. Newcastle has a Valero. Natrona Heights. The rest of them in western Pennsylvania are all down around the Pittsburgh area, and there's not too many. But that really intrigued me because I'd never heard of them before until a couple of years ago. Well, it's a relatively new company, as it turns out. It's a big company, Valero Energy Corporation, Fortune 500 company, headquartered in San Antonio, Texas. But it was not created until 1980 as a spinoff of some other oil company. Largest spinoff in U.S. history at that time. And then it took over a couple of others. And the next thing you know, they're pretty big. Valero, at least in other parts of the country, mainly in the South. Valero. So they were a spinoff of Coastal States Gas Corporation. And then later started taking over some other ones. Interesting because we had a situation here. Armco, of course, longtime major manufacturer, helped to create a subsidiary with a Japanese steel company. And it became AK, Armco, forget what the Japanese company was. And then AK eventually took over Armco. Yeah. Oh, anyway, a little bit of information about Valero, in case you were wondering. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk. Let's go to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead. Nice to talk to you today.
Yeah, nice to hear your voice. I just wanted to mention you had a gentleman on the radio the other day from the Warm Line at the Grapevine Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were talking about a mathematician from Princeton.
Yes. Uh huh. Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch all your show, but I just want to let the listeners know that the book and the movie is called A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. That's it. Yes, thank you. For some reason, okay. I didn't look this up afterwards. I thought the guy's name was Nash, but I could be wrong on that. I don't know.
I believe you're definitely correct there.
But as soon as you said the name of the movie, bingo. That's it. By the way, did you see that flick?
No, I didn't. I read the book, but I didn't see the movie.
It is a wonderful, wonderful movie.
If I'm not mistaken, it was a long time ago when I read it, but I do believe he might have won the Nobel Prize.
Can't remember that. Russell Crowe, I believe, played guy.
Right.
And I know, that was my first reaction because I'm not a big Russell Crowe fan. You know, when I hear Russell Crowe, I think, you know, like Gladiators and stuff like that, Robin Hood. But he was outstanding in this film. So if you see it around or want to rent it or something, it's a good couple of hours movie.
Great. Thanks
for the info. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye.
Sure. Bye-bye. A Beautiful Mind. I couldn't think of the name of that film for trying. Yeah. Phone number 283-2525. Let's go to this line next. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. In last night's paper, Greed at the Finest, it certainly hits the nail on the head by Robert Neff. We have too many legislators in Pennsylvania, and we're going to be bankrupt forever if we don't reduce it by at least 75. We don't need 250. And I just think until they reduce some of this spending that they do with insurance and all kinds of different things that they get, we're going to be in trouble. And I just think, of course, they're not going to undo their job, so who's going to do it?
Yeah, well, I think that it could probably be made smaller as well. But even if they made all of the cuts you're talking about, that's really kind of a drop in the bucket when you talk about state spending. And the real way, I think, is the editorial that appeared on that same page of the Butler Eagle last night about needing it to go to fairly drawn districts. Because right now, most of our local lawmakers don't face any challenge.
Right.
You know, they just get reelected every year, or every time, it's not every year. Depending on what office they're holding, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. And I thought that was an excellent editorial. Did you read that? It was on the same page last night.
Yes, I think I did.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I remember I talked to another legislator one time and said, I don't think we need all this. And he said, well, so-and-so has, I forget how many acres that he's responsible for in his district. And I said, well, it's probably the mountains, though. Yeah, it was. Well, what problems do we have in the mountains, or how many people are there in that area?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a big area, that's okay. You still don't have many people.
Well, the State House actually voted to lessen their numbers a few years ago. But it never, I don't even think it ever came up in the Senate, and there are some cynics who have suggested that the only reason it passed in the House is because they knew that the Senate would never approve it. So,
right.
Kind of a symbolic vote. It's like those 200 votes that Republican members of Congress took to repeal Obamacare whenever they knew it had no chance of ever winning, you know.
Well, if California has, I think, maybe 120 or something in that figure, why do we need 250-some?
Yeah. Well, you know, the real irony of this, and I'll let you go, that it used to be smaller, and we had a constitutional convention here in Pennsylvania. It was a long time ago. I don't remember when it was. But the people voted to make it larger, believe it or not. It's true.
I can't believe
it. It's true. Thanks for the call, my friend. Good to talk with you today. Thank you. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk. Where am I going here? This line. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi.
Hi.
Somebody called in after the Italian festival that was downtown and complained about the garbage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the festival's fault. They had garbage cans sitting everywhere, including in the middle of the street.
So it was people that were littering? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what she claimed. She said she went up towards the, I think she said she went up towards the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And there was stuff on the street.
So your point is if there were all kind of trash cans around, don't blame the festival organizers.
Amen.
Blame
a bunch of slobs.
Blame the people who didn't walk over to the trash can, huh? Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't there because I was out of town for part of the weekend, and I never made it down there. And, of course, one or two of the days when the weather wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, if there's a garbage can there, use it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hear you on that, but yeah, obviously we have a lot of litter bugs here in Pennsylvania. All you have to do is look along the side of the roads or the streets, you know?
Yeah.
Disgusting. Thank you, my friend. It's a good point you make. It's a good point.
Goodbye.
Thanks. 283-2525 is the number. I did not make it to the festival over Labor Day, the Italian festival. From what I understand, the organizers thought it went very well. They were very pleased with the crowds, especially with, what was it, the first day that, it was either Friday, it must have been Saturday. Then. Anyway, one of the days had very marginal weather, but it ended up pretty great. Sunday was certainly fine, and Monday was fantastic up until this stretch that we've been enjoying right now. That's the nicest day we've had in the last month, Labor Day on Monday. But anyway, I wasn't there, so I can't speak. We did have a conversation, I guess, last week from an individual who said that there was a whole lot of litter around. I don't know. Is it because people feel that they're walking around? You know, there are no vehicles on Main Street, just all pedestrian traffic that they can toss stuff? I don't know. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. I'm always astonished when I see something, especially something like a fast food bag, you know, from a fast food restaurant. With and you know that's where it's from, you know, there's a paper cup there and a straw sticking out of it and a burger bag, you know. What kind of a person would just toss that out of the window of their car? What an ignoramus. Really. What an ignoramus. Somebody else has to clean that up. Either a volunteer or we pay to get it cleaned up. Really irritates me. Yeah. You want to live like that at home? If you want to have your house to be a pigsty, that's okay. How would you feel if everybody came along and just dumped garbage on your lawn? Oh, I don't know. Maybe the mindset of the people that do that wouldn't care. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open talk here on the program today. I just saw a story that cleared the wire within the past hour or two. And this is something that I had not heard. Now, it was a press release from the office of U.S. Senator Bob Casey. So, you know, number one, we always take that with a grain of salt, whether it's coming from a Republican or a Democrat or whatever. Obviously, he's trying to make his point. But Senator has written a letter to some of his colleagues warning the White House and the Senate and House leaders against funding corporate tax breaks by slapping new taxes on retirement savings for workers. And this is the first time that I've ever heard about this. And Senator Casey says he doesn't want to see that. He says there are reports that indicate congressional Republicans are scheming to tax 401k plans of workers in order to pay for tax cuts for the rich. Well, haven't heard that. Of course, we haven't heard much of anything from the tax plans. President Trump, a couple of weeks ago, said he was going to push for tax reform, but there were no specifics whatsoever. But, I mean, you know, that's, to be quite frank, that's what we've come to expect from President Trump. He never gives his specifics on anything. He didn't on health care reform. He said, well, going to get rid of Obamacare and get something else. Never said what else. That's kind of the way he works in generalizations. So I don't know. But that would be a real slap in the face, indeed, if they taxed 401k plan. And we'll see how it shakes down. Could be just political rhetoric. Do keep in mind, Senator Casey is running for re-election next year. And there's already challengers stepping forth on the Republican side. So, again, you always consider that. I love the releases that come out of the offices. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat when they're running for election or re-election, because they're always full of this language that just makes the other side look like absolute monsters, you know. 283-2525 is the number. I saw a story just yesterday. I don't know if I find that here. It was on the wire from Penn State, the Penn State Agricultural Science Department. All signs point toward a banner year for fall foliage in Pennsylvania. This is the first report I've seen about this. I'll just read a couple of sentences for you. The rainy summer in Pennsylvania. Well, we certainly had that up until middle of August when it started to dry out and it rained practically every day before that in the summertime. The rainy summer in Pennsylvania has set the stage for what could be an awesome autumn foliage display, according to forest ecologists at Penn State. Mark Adams is a professor of forest ecology. He says the cool, moist summer should usher in great fall colors. Leaves didn't begin to change color early this summer, as in recent years, and that's a good sign, according to another prof up at Penn State, Kim Steiner. Now, they're not guaranteeing fantastic foliage. I mean, they're could still be changes in the weather that, you know, will put a halt to things. But they say early on, looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. And they've been studying this up at Penn State for years and decades, actually, how summer conditions will affect foliage color in the fall. The cooler temperatures and the shorter daylight hours signal deciduous trees to stop producing chlorophyll, the green pigment responsible for photosynthesis. The chlorophyll breaks down, the tree isn't producing any more of it, it disappears, and that unmasks the other leaf pigments. So the leaves don't actually change color. It's just that the green color goes away, and what's left is what we see. Mm-hmm. And there's one other note they had in this story here. I don't want to overburden you, but it had to do with the the tree that the emerald ash bore? Oh, the ash tree. They're almost all dead in Pennsylvania now. You see them along the sides of the roadways. Yeah, there's none of them left. They're all just dead trees waiting to come down. They produced a yellowish color in the fall. And the Penn State forest people say that'll be missing now. So you won't see that bright yellow of the ash trees whenever they start to turn. But otherwise, they say, should be a pretty spectacular fall. Well, we'll see. Middle of September as of today. I've noticed a couple of leaves here and there over the past few weeks. And then last couple of days, I've seen even some trees are fully turned. So we'll see what happens. Open talk on the program, 283-2525. A little bit later, we're going to be talking today about the XTO, WQED, Inquire Within program. And we'll also be talking about how foster care and adoption affects kids, especially younger kids, later on the program today. I purposefully did not watch any of the Hillary Clinton interviews this week. She was making the rounds on all the TV networks and the TV shows, pushing her new book, the title of which is What Happened. What happened is she lost to Donald Trump, obviously, but what happened? This is a classic promotional tour for a book. A couple of weeks ago, they started to leak little tidbits. And then this week, she was unleashed, and she was on, you know, all the Today Show, MSNBC. I don't know whether she was on any of the Fox programs or not. As I said, I purposefully avoided it because I just want her to go away. She lost, you know, and she can't seem to accept that. Yeah, there are a number of factors that probably contributed. Obviously, there were. Was it James Comey a little bit? Oh, yes. Was it the Russian hacking of the Democratic emails? Yes, no question about it. But she lost mainly because there are so many people who don't like her and wouldn't vote for her for dog catcher. Now, that's not everybody. We had one caller earlier this week pointed out that Hillary Clinton actually got more votes than Donald Trump did. If you just talk about adding up all the votes in the country, that's true, by the way. She got 3 million more votes than Trump did, which just gnaws at Trump to no end. But we elect our presidents through the Electoral College. Now, you might not agree with that system. I think it's a relic of the past that needs to be changed, but that's the way it is. And we've had controversial elections in the past where one candidate has gotten more popular votes but still lost. This isn't the first time this has happened. She lost because there were X number of people who wouldn't have voted for her no matter what she did or what she said or what Trump did or what Trump said. It was as simple as that. She was never getting their vote from the get-go. And the Democrats, the power people in the Democratic Party apparently didn't realize the extent of the negative feeling to Hillary Clinton. And extended back, you know, decades, really, back to the time when her husband was president. Would any other Democratic candidate have beaten Donald Trump? Well, I think you could probably make an argument for that. But a lot of them didn't give it a go. Joe Biden didn't, because she was kind of the anointed one, you know. She had made clear her plans to run, and everybody just kind of bowed down, except for Bernie. 283-2525. You better believe there are a lot of Democratic leaders who are wishing the same thing that I just said. Please, Hillary, just go away. Thanks very much for your service. Just leave the stage. 283-2525 is our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi there. How are you today?
I'm just fine. How are you doing this fine Friday?
Doing good. Doing good. And yes, I'm glad it's Friday. And what we have in the White House today, I'm ashamed that he's even our president, let alone running the United States. He's an embarrassment to my country. Sorry.
Well, you're not alone. There are a lot of people that feel that.
I feel that some of the things that he's done in the last 3 months, you know, and I was watching on CNN this morning, I'm talking about half the decisions he makes, it depends on who's pulling and ringing his nose today. And I can't believe that we have a president that, you know, well, you're supposed to do this, and they're telling him how to run the country instead of him making his own decision.
Well, wait a minute. Who's? I'm not sure that I follow that. Who's telling him what to do? I don't think I
don't know who. Well, I don't. We were talking about the immigrant children. I don't know what the name of that program was.
DACA.
But yes.
DACA, yeah.
They were talking about that, and they were talking about the different subjects of what's in the latest news, I guess you would say. And one of the... It was on Channel 3. I don't know any names, so I'm not going to repeat anybody. Mm-hmm. It was on Channel 3, and the one woman said to him, well, if this person tells him to do this, then he does that today. And this person tells him to do this tomorrow, and he does that. He's doing everything to try to make you like him, and he's not getting anywhere.
Well, I can see that argument, but I, you know... overall, I don't think anybody's calling the shots for Donald Trump. I think he calls his own shots. He might be influenced by somebody, but...
Watch Channel 3 once in a while. I'm not one to watch it. I've been watching it because of the hurricanes down the south. I had a stepson that's down in Florida, and believe it or not, when it got to where he lives at, it just kind of fizzed out. So, thank goodness for that.
And, so you're talking about CNN? Is that your Channel 3?
Yes. Okay. CNN or Channel 15. It's also a news station. Just sitting there watching them give the stories about it. I was waiting for an update on, you know, how the people were doing down south. And this, they're on, they're talking about him. And basically what she was saying was, well, when he talks to this person today, and they tell him, well, if you want to get this accomplished, then this is what you have to do. And so he does it, and he's still not getting anywhere. And I'm like, you know, he has no idea how to run the country as far as I'm concerned. And can you tell me what he's done in the last 6 months that was a good thing?
Well, anyone would tell you that he hasn't accomplished very much in 6 months. I mean,
it's
pretty obvious.
Is that the way it's been with every president? I don't know. I never really paid attention. But it just seems like with him in there, we're not going to get anywhere. And then the disasters that are in there today, you know, throwing all that money into Florida and Texas, it's just going to wipe us out. How are we going to pay for all that? You know, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know what the answers are, but well, the hole is getting deeper and deeper.
Thanks, my friend, for the call. Good to
talk
to you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the program today. I jump around a lot when I'm watching news on TV. So, I mean, if you're talking about the cable news channels, and there are three major ones. There's CNN and Fox and MSNBC. Seems funny. They still go by that, you know, because that started out as a joint venture between Microsoft and NBC. That's why it's called MSNBC. I don't think Microsoft is even involved in it anymore, but they keep the name. Well, at any rate, those are the three major cable news networks, and I jump around from all three of them because I like to get different points of view. And obviously, at least two of them are slanted. You know, Fox obviously slants toward the conservative side of things, and MSNBC obviously slants toward the liberal side of things. I personally think CNN kind of goes down the middle if you're just talking about news. If you're talking about their commentary shows, what's the guy's name? Anderson Cooper. By the way, was that guy's like, he's on for, I don't know. How long is he on every night? Because that's usually when I turn it on to check things out. Guy's always on there. I don't know. They have any other hosts in the evening? I couldn't tell you. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Open talk here on the program today. By the way, coming up on Monday, who wants to think about Monday on Friday afternoon? We'll be talking with Pennsylvania State Police Trooper Dan Keston will be with us, talking about safety this time of year. Another school year is underway, and some other safety concerns as well. There's a national Child Passenger Safety Week coming up, so Trooper Keston will talk with us about that. We will also talk with the superintendent of the Slippery Rock Area School District, Butch Angelucci, will be visiting with us on Monday. We are in the process of having a little sit-down chat with all of the superintendents and the schools in the Butler County area. We'll be doing that over the next few weeks. But Superintendent of Slippery Rock will be with us on Monday. Open talk, 283-2525. Let's go back to the people. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi. I just wanted to give my 2 cents worth in on the last call.
Oh, good.
She seems to be doing what she's accusing Trump of doing by listening to everybody else. If she listened to the right people, she would know that DACA was unconstitutional and it should be sent to Senate, to the Senate. So he did what he was supposed to be doing. I don't know why she's so upset about what he's doing with DACA.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because now it appears that he has reached at least some sort of an agreement with the Democratic congressional leaders to back it now.
I think he's trying to work both sides of the aisle because he cannot get the Republicans to agree with much of anything, and so he's trying to be a negotiator and do what's good for the people, but they just won't give him a chance. I think he's done some good things since he's been in. He's not all black. He's not all against everybody. He's trying to help America if people would cooperate with him.
Well, he has signed quite a few executive orders in the first 6 months. There hasn't been any major legislative action moved. But
I think a lot of them were to repeal the other executive orders that were put in the last 8 years.
Oh, there's no question about it. Including DACA, by the way. That was an executive order signed by Obama.
And it was unconstitutional, and Obama even admitted to that. And so now that he's trying to get it into the Senate and the House and everybody to make it a law and to see if those people can come up with something to resolve the situation, now he's all wrong. So I think everybody has to keep an open mind. And nobody's perfect, but I am willing to give him a chance. We don't have a choice.
Your open mind comment is well taken. Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Goodbye. 283-2525, our number, Open Talk. Caller, I think you're going to have the last word here on the Open Talk segment of the program today, so go right ahead. You've got the floor.
Okay. I got a comment about drivers in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they're racing to getting from point A to point B, and this tailgating frenzy is out of control. I don't know how you might feel about it and how the callers that may call in have a comment on this. I see that most of the offenders are these young girls, and not to say that it's not just them, but there's older people as well. I'm an older person as well, and I've been driving for over 60 years. And I've never seen Butler in such a disarray of drivers that are so disrespectful. I'm not saying all of them. But I don't know. I don't know if you come across people like this, and I try to handle it in a good way. But
I have.
What is the solution, Dave? I appreciate your program.
Yes. I think the biggest problem is the use of phones in the cars that is distracting people.
I see that a lot. Mostly with women. It just seems to be that way, and I'll shake my finger at them, and it's like water over a bridge, you know?
I get very frustrated, too, when I'm in a car and there's some idiot that I... A woman went past me one day last week, happened to be a woman, but she... I couldn't figure out why she was driving so erratically. And it turns out she went past me. She had a cigarette in one hand and her telephone in the other. I don't know how in the heck she was driving.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
It's kind of like chewing gum and walking at the same time, Dave.
Yeah. Thanks, my friend.
I don't know. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your program.
Nice to have you with us today. Thank you. We must pause for a break. I was scheduled to chat with our first guests on the program here today, so give us a moment to bring them into the studio and get everybody mic'd up here and ready to go, and we'll be back with more of the Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR right after this.
Whether you're a competitive athlete or a weekend warrior, any injury that keeps you on the sidelines is not one worth having. The sports medicine specialist at Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers will help you get back into action so you can keep up your lifestyle. Our experts understand that the same treatments for competitive athletes can be used for those who just want to be able to stay active. They accept major insurance plans, including both Highmark and UPMC. Learn more about how you can get back on the field by visiting TriRiversMSK.com.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and, and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Are you looking for a new pharmacy after hearing news of Kmart closing? Celebrating 10 years of pharmacy care to the Butler community, locally owned Institute Hill Pharmacy can fill your prescriptions in just 10 minutes. We take all major insurance plans, stock a variety of over-the-counter medications, and pride ourselves on fast, friendly customer service. And we are excited to offer a $5 off coupon for any transferred prescription from Kmart customers. Some restrictions apply.
Check out Institute Hill Pharmacy on Facebook or stop by their location on East Jefferson Street.
Institute Hill Pharmacy. An old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for Friday. Somebody said, Dave, you're a little bit loopy today. I said, hey, it's Friday. Oh, what do you expect? It's Friday. We got the weekend coming up. Hey, two guests join us in the studio today. I want to find out more about the XTO WQED Inquire Within program. And we have just the people here to talk about that. Liz Constantino is manager of the Inquire Within program in the education department at WQED. Liz, nice to meet you. It's nice to have you with us here today.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having us out.
Now, do you work out of the WQED studios there in Pittsburgh?
I most certainly do. Yep, right there on Fifth Avenue in Oakland.
Mm-hmm. Just went past them not too long ago. I was on other business, but I went past and always kind of wave as I go by. And also with us is Michelle Lesniak, who is the director of the South Butler Community Library, which is in Saxonburg. Michelle, nice to have you here today as well.
Oh, well, thank you for having us.
South Butler is the new name, at least for me, it's the new name of what used to be known as the Saxonburg Library. The name change, I think, correctly reflects your service area, and I think it was a good move.
Yeah, I think people are more aware that we cover the six municipalities that surround Saxonburg, which is definitely an advantage.
Nothing wrong with Saxonburg. It's one of my favorite little towns.
Exactly.
But when you made the name change, I liked it. I still have to catch myself every once in a while, though, because I start to say the wrong thing.
A lot of people do.
So let me ask you, Liz, you're the manager of the Inquire Within program. What the heck do we have a library person here for? What's the connection there?
Well, nearly 5 years ago, we at WQED, we're looking for some new ways to partner with members of the community. You know, we have great programs and great resources that are developed by WQED and by extension PBS, but we don't have any kids in the building. So they sit there and they don't get used. Of course, we have a presence with some of our local schools, but we were wondering if there was a way that we could reach a whole other audience. And, you know, public libraries were the first kind of place that popped into mind. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really community anchors, resource centers for everyone in the community, young and old. And with their commitment to raising lifelong learners, lifelong readers, that kind of really fit our mission. And so, you know, we just kind of threw it out there at first to librarians in Allegheny County to kind of pilot this program to see how it would work. And it just, you know, exceeded our wildest expectations, not only the buy-in from the librarians, but the excitement and enthusiasm from the patrons of these libraries as well.
You've also had some corporate partnerships to make this whole thing fly, right?
We have. You know, we started as a pilot program, like I said, in Allegheny County. And with the success of that, we were very fortunate to get funding from corporations like XTO Energy, who really want to make a positive impact in the communities where they are. And, you know, libraries are kind of the perfect way to do that. And thanks to their generous support, we've been able now to sponsor three libraries in Butler County that are all doing wonderful, innovative things. And again, there are boots on the ground. You know, we in Pittsburgh can't be everywhere at once, but that's kind of the beauty of this program. It creates these media mentors, again, these boots on the ground that can reach this whole population that otherwise we may never see.
Well, obviously, South Butler Community Library is one of the three.
They are.
I think Butler Public Library is another one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And the Prospect Community Library was actually the first library that XTO funded. They launched in December of 2016. And again, they were, you know, such a wonderful partner to have. The things that Jill and her staff are doing out at Prospect really impressed both us at QED and caught the eye of XTO. And they decided to fund Butler area and the South Butler Library that launched in June of this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening at South Butler Community Library, Michelle, in terms of your involvement with this program. Obviously, you're still not exactly the embryonic stages, but June wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't, but it was perfect timing for us because we were getting ready to kick off our summer reading program.
Ah,
so
yeah.
It was a nice way to integrate it and really do a kickoff for both events. So we were happy to have a Curious George character. We did a yellow man in a yellow hat costume. We had over 225 kids come through the library that day to see Curious George and pick up their summer reading materials, and they were just thrilled. It was just something so different, and we were able to integrate that with some story time, Curious George, and activities. We gave away prizes. XTO was very generous. They give us some money to spend for things that we need, and because so much of it is based video and movies and things, we invested in a 100-inch screen and a projector so that we can show those things.
A 100-inch screen? Wow, you could watch from the surface of the moon.
The kids love it. I mean, they just sit, up and stare at that. It just makes the whole room. I think they've seen some episodes of things we show before, but doesn't matter. It's big, and they just love that. So I think it's been a definite plus to all of our programs that we've been able to use.
I'm not embarrassed to speak for myself, but I'm guessing I'm speaking with some of our other listeners too when I say Curious George is a bit of a mystery to me. So I'm curious. Is that a TV character today? Liz is looking at me like, what, did you just step off a spaceship or something? I really don't know who it is.
Well, like all good things, I'm a former children's librarian, so I can say this with certainty. You know, everything wonderful starts in a book. Curious George was a storybook character. And then, you know, he did develop into a television show that is on PBS, Curious George. That's one of our STEM-based shows. So he does a lot of different engineering and mathematics, you know, different concepts throughout his show. Of course, with some silly Curious George problems along the way that he has to solve. So he's one of the most popular properties that we do have. Currently airing on PBS, right up there with, you know, Daniel Tiger.
Is Curious George also an animal character?
He is a monkey.
Oh, a monkey, okay.
He's a monkey.
Well, I know Daniel Tiger. I don't want you to think that I'm totally out of the loop. I know Daniel Tiger. I didn't know Curious George. Well, that's wonderful. So we're talking about STEM-based entertainment here.
We are.
And these are for younger kids even, right? Never too young to expose. STEM, by the way, science, technology, something in engineering and math, right?
Math.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first time that I ever heard of it was in connection with trying to emphasize STEM courses for young women in high school and then eventually in college. Because there was a time not too long ago when women didn't think of engineering as a career, for example. How silly was that? I know all the way through junior high school, the smartest math person in my class was a young woman. Mm-hmm, it was brilliant. You could run circles around the rest of us, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So even with young kids now, we're talking about STEM-based education.
Absolutely. Well, part of the beauty of what PBS does is so much of what they are doing is that the kids are learning through play. And you're never too young, you know, to learn and experience, you know, different literacies, different languages. And for the kids, you know, again, they're just playing. So they may not necessarily realize that, hey, you know, we're working on an engineering problem here. Or, hey, we just solved, you know, worked out patterns and did some sort of math principle. Because to them, it's just play. But then as they grow, you know, you circle back and, oh, yeah, I remember when I did this with Splash and Bubbles, when I learned about, you know, marine biology through an episode in an online game with Splash and Bubbles. Different things like that.
If we could have only started out learning math that way.
Right? Made it so much easier.
You know, instead of those stupid statement problems we used to get. You remember those?
I do.
There's a man and a woman that are on a trapeze on a moving flat car on a train. It's going 35 miles an hour. And, you know, it would drive anybody nuts. I'd rather learn that stuff through Curious George helping me out here. So while we're talking about it, yellow hat. I better get that explained for me as well, Michelle.
Well, Curious George has a helper with him whenever he's on these adventures, and it's the man in the yellow hat. He never really gets a name, so he wears a big yellow hat, and that's how they identify him.
Is there a specific age range that PBS is aiming at with this particular stuff, Curious George and Yellow Hat?
Well, the Inquire Within program primarily targets children ages 3 to 11.
Okay.
You know, PBS, though, has a wealth of resources for, again, children and adults, all ages. And part of the beauty of Inquire Within is that there's nothing cookie cutter about it. Libraries are not the same. Library patrons are not the same. And this kind of program, then the librarians can tailor it to fit the needs of their community. So while a lot of times that does focus on that pre-K kind of sweet spot there, there are programs that have been done for elementary age children. We have different toolkits and resources that librarians can use for parenting programs. And in fact, South Butler did one of our first Inquire Within adult programs this summer, focused on the Ken Burns special, The Vietnam War.
Oh, I want to talk about that in just a minute, because that premieres this weekend,
I think. It does, Sunday.
Yeah. So these toolkits and this material and so on, the libraries are able to get this at a reduced price through this program?
It's completely free to the libraries.
Free.
To XTO Energy.
What a wonderful program.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't surprise me. XTO, since they first burst onto the scene, that's a subsidiary of Exxon, by the way, I think. Mm-hmm. But everybody around here knows them as XTO because they've done a lot of work around here with pipelines and so on and so on. They've been great community partners from the beginning.
They certainly have.
Before I even knew about this program, they've been great community partners elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they seek those opportunities, and it's a great advantage to libraries like ourselves. They're small community libraries that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford all the materials or the things that are available, and it makes a big difference. And I think our patrons really appreciate it.
I think so. We'll take a break. We have lots more to talk about with our guests and with these pretty wonderful programs that are happening. Listeners, were you familiar with this? Well, I guess in South Butler you were, because they've been doing it since June down there and even earlier at Prospect. Is it underway in Butler, by the way, at the Butler Public Library? Do you know, Liz?
It is. Butler also launched in June.
Okay. A quick break and then more with our guests. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Been there for going on 125 years. Stop and think about that. Think about how long ago that was. Yeah, and they're still there. Headquarters for athletic shoes. They got a zillion different brands on it. Well, not a zillion. They have all your famous brands. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Propan. Whatever you prefer. You don't have to go to three or four different stores. All there. One roof. Miller's. They also have well-known name brand shoes for men and women. These are names that you recognize. It's not some shoe you never heard of before. Hush Puppies, Trotters, Foam Treads, Easy Spirit. They're also your local headquarters here in Butler for SAS Shoes, America's favorite comfort shoe. And they really are comfortable. First time I ever picked up a pair of SAS shoes, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a bedroom slipper. They come in a variety of different styles and colors for men and women, even sandals, and they are made in the U.S. of A. And you can't say that about too many shoes anymore. Stop in and check them out. Ask Jimmy Ciprian to let you try on a pair. SAS, America's favorite comfort shoes. You'll find them at Miller's, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes. We'll be back to talk more with Liz and Michelle coming up on the It's Your Turn program for a Friday right after these words.
Thompson Miller probably receives more calls about cremation than any other subject. So let me share with you what you need to know, what you need to think about concerning this sensitive subject. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler is often asked these points. Should you consider cremation for your loved one? Is it appropriate for your family? What's the appropriate funeral service? What's the cost? Good questions. Cremation offers three advantages: simplicity, convenience, and it's local. Thompson Miller's cremation services are right here in Butler at our own newly created facility. We assure you that your loved ones will never leave our care at any point in the process. Let's talk it over privately right here at Thompson Miller, or call us at 724-287-3706, 287-3706, or online at www.thompson-miller.com. Thompson Miller at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, good friends. We're talking about the Inquire Within program today. Undertaken through the wonderful, large, and inclusive umbrella of WQED and PBS. By the way, is this program in other parts of the country with PBS, or is it strictly a WQED thing in Pittsburgh?
It's an initiative strictly at WQED.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, we are fortunate that we have some wonderful partners, and we've been able to spread this program throughout our footprint. So we have libraries in Allegheny County, in Washington County, Fayette, obviously Butler County. We even have partners in Harrison County, Ohio, and Marshall County, West Virginia. And we're set to launch three new locations in October. We'll be in Beaver County and Westmoreland County.
Cutting edge. That doesn't surprise me. WQED was one of the early public television stations in the country, even before there was such a thing as PBS, when it was just public television before the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. WQED. You know where that name came from, Michelle, by the way?
I do not.
You geometry freaks. We got any geometry nerds out there that know where WQED's call letters came from?
I have no idea.
It's from a Latin phrase that's used in geometry. Quod erat demonstrandum, which means thus it is proved. You use that at the end of a proof when you solve a geometry problem.
Okay.
In fact, if you'll see, I can remember my geometry prof, Father Jerome, he would write it on the board and we'd get to the bottom underneath, he'd write QED. Thus it is proved. Well, there's a little bit of a parenthetical trivia question for you here today. Back to the concept at hand, Inquire Within. You mentioned, Liz, the Ken Burns Vietnam series and how Saxonburg South Butler Community Library decided to utilize some of the things that were available for that. Now, the Ken Burns series premieres this Sunday night, I believe. Is it Sunday night?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be on for a while because it's like 18 hours or something like
that? It is. It's 18 magnificent hours that he's worked for 10 years on.
I've talked to so many people that just can't wait to see that. By the way, it's not on all at the same time, folks. An hour or two at a time.
Correct.
So over a period of weeks. But we know his stuff. We know that it's always terrific. So what did you do at the South Butler Community Library, Michelle, in terms of this? Because we had a little bit of a Vietnam connection here, didn't
and
we?
It's exactly what was on my mind. I had received an email from another PBS entity that was offering a grant application to get some special access to the screener for the Vietnam series. So mm-hmm. I looked at that and said, no, I got to call Liz. I don't need to apply for a grant. So I gave Liz a call and said, hey, what can you do for me? Because, you know, they're able to do this someplace else. Let's put something together, because the traveling memorial is coming. Mm-hmm. Just seemed to make sense to do something that was really connected with the community. And I'm very anxious to use PBS and the Inquirer with adults, because I know there's so much kid and children-based programs, but the community of Saxonburg and the outlying community and lots of our patrons are of that local history and just really like the QED and the PBS station. They bring it up all the time. So Liz was great. She was able to get a screener for us. I also contacted the Butler Legion Riders, who mm-hmm. were arranging the travel memorial.
The ones that brought the wall here.
They brought it here. So Dennis came and also spoke. So we were able to show the screener. He spoke about the traveling wall and everything that was happening with those events. And a lot of people were just really thrilled that we were doing it. It was something different, totally different. I showed it on that big 100-inch screen.
So you got little, like, advance excerpts that you mm-hmm. were able to show?
Yeah, really? We got excerpts, and it was moving. I mean, wow. It was fantastic. The people were there. There were sections where you could just see that it was just so emotional yeah. for the people that were there, and they were very touched by it. And again, when he went to talk, I said, do you want to talk before or after? He said, after. I think if I were watching something that I had actually been a veteran of, mm-hmm. I think I would have talked first. But he was yeah. very, but you could tell he was just so touched by that, and there was so much going on, and the people that were there felt that as well. So I was just so glad to have something very special for our adults in the community.
See, I didn't, I'd heard of Inquire Within, but I didn't realize that it was for this vast array of ages. I didn't realize, well, you said, Liz, no library is the same. It can be tailored differently at different places. And obviously, Michelle's doing that at South Butler.
Well, one of the things a lot of people think of libraries for children, and our children's programs are very successful, and we have adults that use the library, but they forget that we can do programs, and there's more learning for them to do as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of different items out there, and I think PBS will dovetail very well with that. So I'm looking forward, was chatting with Liz as we were waiting about some other ideas for the fall, because I really think it's going to be a good thing for adults as well.
You did this last month then, whenever the wall was
yeah,
there?
We actually did it on Tuesday, and the wall came in on Wednesday night, and so we dovetailed it right together and felt that that was also advertising for them and to help, you know, talk about the wall as well.
Advance excerpts mm-hmm. from Ken Burns' Siri. You know, they had to get hackers to do that with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones got hacked to get their excerpts in advance. back to, can we take a second and talk about this series coming up on, I don't know, maybe it's slipped some people's minds. There was a preview of sorts on QED, I think like a month ago, that said, look what's coming, folks. You don't want to miss this. Well, this is the weekend. This Sunday night is when the Ken Burns series begins. There was even a review, I believe, in this morning's Post-Gazette, I'm not sure, talking about what a nuanced view Burns takes of the Vietnam War. In other words, you can look at this from a number of different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, that leads to polarized opinions and so on and so forth. I had a feeling Ken Burns was going to do it the right way.
Absolutely.
You know, I guess he talks to everybody.
He mm-hmm. covers all the angles. I had the privilege of watching with a group of veterans and the public last week at Soldiers and Sailors, the very premiere that Michelle showed at her library. And just, again, just seeing that excerpt of it ran about an hour, but it's so powerful, so impactful, truly humbling to experience that with those veterans, what they went through, and not just, again, he doesn't just show the perspective of the American soldier, he shows the perspective of the North Vietnamese mm-hmm. soldier as well, mm-hmm. You know, some of the civilians on the ground. There's even mentions and interviews with some of the participants from the anti-war movement. So he really covers all the angles in a very respectful and truly impactful way.
What I'm anxious to see is, because so much of what I've enjoyed in Ken Burns, his series on the Civil War, for example, early baseball, jazz, I can't even think of all of the specials he's had, but in many cases he's had to rely on still pictures and then create movement by zooming in, moving out, panning across, wonderful use of music. So I'm anxious to see when he's, because obviously he's got video for this. I mean, sure. You know, this is much more recent. So
not only video, but he even mentioned himself, you know, the ability to actually have live interviews with people who were there,
mm-hmm.
And to get their perspective. It just, again, it's going to be amazing and impactful. And, you know, I personally can't wait to sit and watch it with my family. I think sometimes the Vietnam War is one of those things that is almost forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Well, the time is right.
Yes.
And although Ken Burns has been working on this, I guess, for a decade, mm-hmm. The time is right now. There's an analogous situation with World War II when Ronald Reagan was president on the 50th anniversary of D-Day, which would have been one of the mid-1990s, and went to France, and it was quite, you can imagine, the 50th anniversary. And that seemed to be the linchpin for thousands, tens of thousands of World War II veterans who realize, you know, we haven't talked much about this, mm-hmm. and it's 50 years now, and maybe it's time that we, you know, shared our stories a little bit, because they were, you know, realizing that you don't live forever. And that's the exact timing for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's 50 years since Vietnam. Might shock a lot of people,
right.
But there it is. It's 50 years. So the timing, I think, is just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's a couple of generations who may not know that much about it, maybe nothing about it. I mean, there are some, obviously, some students, the Vietnam War is like, it's like the French and Indian War to them. It's ancient history.
And a lot of the schools didn't teach a lot of that. Even, you know, in my age, my kids' age, I told them about it, and they're like,
mm-hmm.
"We really, you know, we spend all that time on colonial America and all that. We don't get there. We never got there. They're interested too.
It was still touchy too, mm-hmm. as Liz mentioned. It's a very polarizing subject, or has been up to this point. I'm just so anxious to see what Burns has done with it. Yeah, the only thing I can compare this with, the feeling that I have with the, it was the HBO series Band of Brothers,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they did a later one. Later on, but that was the original. It wasn't as long as this. It was 10 hours, but I can remember waiting. I just couldn't wait that I could see the next, the next hour of it.
Right.
You know? Ken Burns' series on Vietnam starts this Sunday night, by the way. How fortuitous that we're chatting here today.
Perfect timing.
Liz Constantinou is here from WQED, and Michelle Lesniak, from the South Butler Community Library. Liz is the manager of Inquire Within, which is part of the education department at WQED. I got some more stuff I want to talk with Michelle about, but let me take, I can't let the occasion pass by when I have somebody from WQED here to talk about Fred Rogers. I mean, even though Fred's been gone now for quite a few years, I mean, he lives on in the hearts and minds of so many families, and I mean whole families. It's not just kids. In fact, if they were kids, they're not kids anymore. You must feel, Liz, when you walk into the building, for goodness sakes, down there on Fifth Avenue in Oakland at WQED, you must still feel his spirit.
Absolutely. You know, I'm blessed to walk in the halls where Fred walked. And we, especially in the education department, and then by extension, WQED, we really try to hearken back to the lessons that Fred left behind for us, to be very purposeful in what we do, in our interactions with children, in our interactions with the community, you know, making sure that when bad things happen, you know, there's a resource and a gentle way that mm-hmm. you can, you know, couch these kids and interact with them. You know, Mr. Rogers, I personally have some very fond memories of him growing up, you know, watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, visiting Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood at Idlewild, and to go down to the studio and just be where the neighborhood was.
Are any of the old sets preserved, you know?
We don't have any out at the studio. The Fred Rogers Center out in Latrobe on St. Vincent's campus has a wonderful archives, wonderful collection of Fred's memorabilia, some of his handwritten notes, scripts. We do have in the Fred Rogers studio, though, when you walk in there, you can walk on the road to the neighborhood of Make Believe, which is pretty cool.
Handyman Negri, who has been on this program a couple of times, by the way. What a wonderful man.
Absolutely.
What a wonderful man. Absolutely. Great talent, and so many others. Josie Carey. Did you ever know Josie Carey? Have you ever heard of Josie Carey? Have you ever heard of Josie Carey, Michelle?
I have not.
No. She worked with Fred for a while, I think. Not on, I don't, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. How do I say this? I was before its time. Okay, I have some younger sisters who were very much part of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I was not, but I think Josie Carey worked with Fred. She was a pioneer children's broadcaster, even on commercial TV before she worked with Fred. She was from Butler.
Oh,
wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She's long passed away. But fortunately, I was able to interview her quite a few years ago on this program. Just delightful. And for many baby boomers, it was like the thrill of a lifetime. Yeah, yeah. Her real name was Josie Vacari. She used just Josie Carey. But Vacari is a very common name here in the Butler area. So everybody said, oh, I didn't know that was her. It was. Well, anyway, just wanted to mention that. People in Pittsburgh, heck, people all over the country will never forget Fred Rogers. Mm-hmm. Never, 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 never.
And I think they value what he provided for the community. I actually had a patron come in. They had hand puppets of some of the characters from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And they said, would you keep these at the library so the community can see them? Mm-hmm. So they were just, it was so nice of them to think to share them with us. Mm-hmm. And so we're happy to have those at the library. Just a couple, but it's something special.
Now, also this summer, Michelle, you were able to have weekend family movies at the South Butler Community Library.
Yeah, part of what Inquire Within has are some of the what we call the screeners, some advanced copies, and just some episodes that are new. So we were able to take those in every Friday as part of our summer reading program. Thought we need some family time, so Friday afternoons was PBS movie day, and we had families join us for screeners of Daniel Tiger, Wildcrats, Splash and Bubbles. We did a couple different ones every week, so it was well attended, and the people really, you know, like I said, the kids just sit. I provided some popcorn, and they were just in awe of the screen, so it was just so nice to see them engaged. In some shows that I'm not as familiar with, my kids are in their 20s, so I'm not familiar with all those characters, but they were engaged. I mean, they were learning. I'm listening, saying, yeah, this is very things I wouldn't expect to show to preschoolers and you know, first and second graders, and they loved it, and they're telling you about it afterwards, and they really get all the information. I mean, we did Ocean Commotion, and they gave us all kinds of explanations afterwards, so I was really thrilled that they, you know, to see how effective the learning is, and they didn't even realize what they were learning. They just thought it was fun. So it was great.
It was. I understand, Michelle, thanks to the partnership with XTO Energy, that you were able to make some of these purchases that were necessary. For example, your giant screen that you've been utilizing as such an integral part of this program. So a big tip of the cap to XTO Energy.
Definitely. I every time I get an opportunity, I say they are supporters, and they were. We actually had a representative, stop by. So they it's nice. They want to be involved, and I really feel that the materials and the things that they are providing is top notch.
I want to talk a little bit with Liz about anything she sees in the crystal ball for expansion of this program, either the geographical footprint or maybe some of the plans for programming. So We'll do that in just a moment or so before we say goodbye to our guests here today. I want to talk about one of our sponsors on the program, and that's DBS Telecommunications. This is a local firm here in Butler, telephone equipment dealer and data network installer. Actually in Butler, but they serve the entire Pittsburgh area. They sell, install, and repair telephones for your office. They primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems, and they've been doing it for the past 32 years here in Butler. We know them well. We've utilized their services here at Butler Radio Network for a long, long time. I was just talking to one of their technicians a week or so ago that was here in the building working on something. They specialize in phone systems, custom designed networks, including fiber optics. They specialize in high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems, high-definition surveillance camera systems, multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. They also provide cabling for voice, data, cable television wiring. So they do a lot of stuff. Call them today. See how they can help you. DBS Telecommunications. Phone number is 724-285-9088. And you can also find them online at dbs-tel.com. DBS Telecommunications. We'll be right back.
Since 1938, Hunter Truck Sales has been a leader in the trucking industry. With 19 locations, we've grown to be the largest heavy truck dealership network in the Northeast. Proudly, Hunter has employed generations of families in the region and was recently honored to be named 2017 Family Business of the Year by the Pittsburgh Business Times. Check it out online at huntertrucksales.com for truck inventory, careers, and locations. Across our network, Hunter will provide solutions for all your trucking needs.
Butler Health System is more than a community hospital. It's a community of expertise trusted by our neighbors across the region. For renowned surgeon Dr. Tony Maloof, that means his neighbors are connected to a modern network of exceptional care.
While I'm part of a very close-knit group, I'm also a part of something bigger. Every day, I can see the difference this makes for my patients and for me.
But in its heart, Butler Health System retains the genuine caring of a community hospital, where patients are treated like friends and neighbors, because that's exactly who they are. And for orthopedic surgeon Thomas Mazzanegro, that caring is where it all begins.
We're committed to providing the absolute best care, and that means understanding what's important in the lives of our patients.
At BHS, we know what it takes to provide the very best of care. But more importantly, we know why we have to. Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Our time is flying by here. It's been great to talk with our two guests with us here in the studio, Liz Constantinou, manager of Inquire Within with WQED down in Pittsburgh, and Michelle Lesniak, who's a director of the South Butler Community Library. Liz, what about the future of Inquire Within at WQED? Obviously, you've had pretty good success already. You're now got three of the public libraries in Butler County involved. South Butler, of course, with Michelle, Prospect, and Butler area. And obviously, you started in Allegheny County. So plans for a larger geographical footprint or expanded programming or both? Or what do you see in the crystal ball there?
Well, we're hoping for, like, the sky's the limit. We're very fortunate that we have some very dedicated members of our sales team who, you know, take this program out in to their different contacts. And, you know, for potential funders, it's a pretty easy sell because it has an immediate positive impact on the communities where they're looking to be. So we are very excited to announce three new libraries that will be launching in October. We have three new library partners, one in Beaver County, the B.F. Jones Memorial Library, one in Westmoreland County, Adams Memorial Library, and the another location in Allegheny County, Brentwood Public Library, will be joining our ranks come October. So
excellent.
Keep your eyes out for that.
Yes, excellent. Wow. Well, you can see the immediate success and the positive feedback right away here from Michelle. They just launched in June.
And you know,
it's September the 15th here.
Yeah. Right. You think you come to the program and they, you know, talk about how much we can do. And I'm thinking the minimum of what we could do is we've done that three times over already. So it's just something that's so easy to integrate into the program and just adds that extra touch. We love it.
isn't it great to see libraries, vibrant libraries like this? You know, there was there are always naysayers. When television came along, there were people who said, well, that's the end of radio, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. This was 1947, by the way. that's the end of radio. Nobody's going to listen to radio anymore. And when videos, remember those? When they came out, well, that's the end of TV. Nobody's gonna, people said that about libraries whenever the Internet became so popular. Mm-hmm. Au contraire. No, please.
Definitely, definitely.
Libraries are still vibrant, still active. We're always going to have libraries. Now, they've changed a little bit.
There's a lot of places for libraries to go in the future. And I think with a lot of the online and electronic resources that we provide, you can do a lot of things from home even and connected to the library. Mm-hmm. I see the future of the libraries being collaboration spaces, really lifelong learning places where you bring in experts, and it's not just the learning from the book or from the screen. It's personal. And we see that more and more in the libraries as we update our library. We look to that as the future, having space for people to really come together. That relationship between experts and knowledge and people is going to be conveyed in a lot of different ways. And the libraries are trying to get ready to do that. Mm-hmm. And we're one of them.
There are even different social places these days. You know, librarians from a couple of generations ago would probably fall over dead if they would see, you know, now libraries are allowed to talk once in a while. you can have a coffee.
You know, exactly.
There are soft chairs. You know, they're not in those hard corrals anymore like they used to. They're changing. And they're going to be around for a while. I don't know. I'm assuming other counties have the same. Because of the Butler County Library system, our federated system, if you have a card for any of the libraries, it's good in any of the other libraries.
Exactly. And along with that, we have access to anything in the state as well.
Absolutely.
Because we're all part of the system. Yeah. So I think a lot of people don't realize the multitude and the mm-hmm. expanse of resources that are available.
And your cards are free. At least mine was.
Oh, they all were free? Yes, definitely free.
That's good. Hey, thanks for stopping in here today. It was a real real treat to talk to the two of you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you here. Liz Constantinou, a manager of Inquire Within, WQED Education Department, and Michelle Lesniak is the director of the South Butler Community Library. We have one more guest that we're able to talk. Actually, we were scheduled to chat with Jody Dean earlier this week, but there was a last-minute cancellation. But we're able to chat with her for a few minutes coming up. Pretty interesting. She has some advice for kids, young kids especially, but even older ones, who are in the process of moving from foster care into a permanent home or into an adoptive home. Sometimes we don't think about what kids are going through, what kids are thinking when they're going through this whole process. And she talks about it. She's a psychologist, has practiced with the kids and teens for many, many years. She'll join us by telephone here on the It's Your Turn program when we come back in just a couple of minutes. So a quick break and back with our final guest right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 4141. The pick three, 706. The pick four, 6884. The pick five is 67784. The wild ball for each of those is 8. Then the treasure hunt is 1, 9, 16, 28, and 30. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
For so many of us, a loving pet is, well, it's a member of the family, isn't it? If you're looking for a veterinarian you can trust when it comes time for a checkup or treatment for a pet that's ill, consider Suburban Animal Clinic and Dr. Dennis Damon. Route 8 south of Butler, 4 miles south of Butler, right at the intersection of Route 8 South and Thorncrest Drive. Dr. Damon treats small animals, dogs, cats, all small animals, and exotic pets, too. If you have a question about illness, symptoms, shots, a checkup, if you need to talk to someone about concerns with an aging pet or a pet near the end of life, you can trust Dr. Dennis Damon. He loves animals. He's a pet owner himself. Dr. Dennis Damon, veterinarian at Suburban Animal Clinic. Hours by appointment only, Monday through Saturday. Credit cards are accepted, and he makes house calls, too. Dr. Dennis Damon, Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 4 miles south of Butler at the intersection of Route 8 and Thorncrest Drive. Phone 287-5289. Listeners, welcome on the next segment of the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. I'm your host, Dave Malarkey. Our next guest visits with us by telephone. She is Jody Dean. And we're going to talk about a fascinating book that she's authored called Roxy the Doxy Finds Her Forever Home. And I'll let you cipher on that title for a minute or so. First of all, let me say hello to Jody Dean. Jody, nice to meet you. Great to be able to chat with you for a few minutes here today.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me on the show.
Listeners, on average, 400,000 children are in foster care, and well over 100,000 await adoption. And those are statistics to ponder as we talk about Roxy the Doxy finding her forever home with Jody Dean. It's a story to help kids deal with adoption through a dog's story, right, Jody?
That's correct, Dave. And of course, I want to make sure that your listeners understand that the intent is not to compare the adoption of a dog to the lengthy and emotional process of adopting a human being. But this book was intended to serve as a tool for parents to use, for teachers to use, for therapists to use, to help get a conversation going with a child who was adopted or is perhaps a biological child who's in the home already, and they're going to have an adopted child coming into the home. Every character in the book sort of represents a person in that adoption process, and so it's to tee up a conversation.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Roxy is a dachshund, right? That's where we get Roxy the Doxy.
Correct. She's a little dachshund. She's a real-life dog, so the character in the book is real, which allows kids to make contact with Roxy, and they email her and things like that. It gives them, kids kind of like to have a character to relate to or to talk to, and Roxy's that real character.
Listeners, our guest, Jody Dean, Ph.D., is a clinical psychologist with 28 years of experience specializing in children, adolescents, and athletes. And by the way, she lives with her dogs, including Roxy. So Roxy is one of your dogs, eh?
That's correct, babe. I kind of adopted her about 4 years ago and was inspired to write the book as something that kids could enjoy a few years ago when I realized that there was a need for this. Because as you said, the statistics that you quoted at the beginning of your show are really very compelling. There are a lot of kids in foster care, a lot of kids needing to be adopted. And the adoption process has gotten a little more complicated over the years. And so it's just another tool for people to use to help them navigate that a difficult journey.
I should point out, listeners, that Roxy the Doxy Finds Her Forever Home is a picture book. It's a big book with the lavish color illustrations. It reminds me of something a long, long time ago, Jody, that I think they were called Golden Books. I used to sit next to my mother on the living room sofa, and we would read together, and that's how this book is designed, I'm guessing, right?
It is. I remember those as well, so we just dated ourselves. But, the illustrations with a kid's book are absolutely critical, as you know, because you're remembering those books based on the illustrations. And when kids look at books, the illustrations either resonate with them or they do not. So finding an illustrator with a really specific talent to engage kids, pull them in with a real friendly, not frightening-looking picture book was really critical. And I was able to do that using my illustrator that I found.
Yes, the illustrations are marvelous, by the way. Who did your illustrations for you?
Her name is Susie Lee Jin, and she's on the East Coast. I did find her after looking through 200 portfolios online, which took weeks and weeks and weeks, and then I finally came upon hers and made contact with her, and she was exactly the right person, and she'll continue to illustrate for me for the rest of the series of the Roxy the Doxy books.
Mm-hmm. Now, you pointed out earlier that you're in no way, obviously, equating the adoption of a dog to the adoption of a child, but nonetheless, there are similar things that you point out. For one thing, when your book starts out, Roxy is very nervous. She hasn't met her new family yet. She's kind of upset, kind of nervous. And kids are that way too, right?
Absolutely, they are. And the whole point of that is that it's okay for the kids to be nervous. it's okay for kids to have, you know, feelings of fear, anxiety, and things like that. And the kids are not little adults. Kids have a lot of different feelings. They don't understand things. When they're going through change, it's incredibly difficult because it's unpredictable. They don't know who's going to be in charge. They don't know who's going to be doing anything. They feel very, very vulnerable. And so having Roxy sort of go through that made it less threatening, so kids could talk about, oh, this is how Roxy probably feels. This is what I think Roxy should do, when in fact, of course, they're talking about what they feel and what they should do. And so the whole book, the how she navigates through worrying about who's her mom going to be, is she going to be mean, is she going to be nice, what's the home going to be like, or will there be scary things in the home environment? Those things are really things that kids worry about. What will be in that home? Who's going to be there? Are they going to be nice? Are they going to be scary? And those are very reasonable things for kids to worry about. They need predictability.
One thing that you there's a section in the back of the book called A Therapist Guide to Adoption. Could you talk about that a little bit before we run out of time? Because that's very important.
Sure. You know, a lot of therapists, as I did and I would still do, use, when they're dealing with little kids in therapy, they use books and games and toys and things like that. So I wrote a therapist guide so that therapists could use the book as an adjunct to their therapy. And it just tees up some questions that the therapist can ask the children and use the book in a therapeutic process, so that they've got just another tool for that population of kids going through adoption. Mm-hmm.
Your book encourages children to write to Roxy. What's that all about, Jody?
It sure does.
What?
They can email Roxy, and they do. They definitely write the funniest emails. They ask Roxy about what she eats. Does she eat vegetables? They send pictures of their dogs. They ask how old she is. Does she get to have birthday parties? They ask a lot of really cute questions, and they all get a response back.
Roxy,
of course.
This is also, and I think you mentioned this briefly before, this is also helpful for children who are already in a home, but the parents are going to be adopting another child. How do the children, the kid or the kids that are already there, deal with this? So this book could help them too, couldn't it?
Exactly, Dave. So Mina represents, she's a little dog, and she represents the child that's already in the home. And Mina has questions like, do I have to share all my toys? Do I have to share my bed? So a child that's already in the home would want to know, why are we bringing this child in? Was I not good enough? Did I do something wrong? What am I going to have to share? So while there's a lot of joy in bringing in a child, there's also anticipatory anxiety, perhaps, from the child already there. And that's easy to deal with, you know, to talk about that. And again, to set the expectations with the child so that they know what is expected of them, what will be theirs, what will be something to be shared, and how that will be done. Really, as long as kids sort of know the rules of the game, they're usually pretty good about it.
Something else that you mentioned, I never even thought about this, quite frankly, until I was breezing. I have a review copy of your book here in front of me. When it came time for your dog, Roxy, to leave her foster family and go to her forever home, there was a little bit of, it was a bittersweet feeling. She realized she was going to have to say goodbye to her foster family, and you very nicely say she ran up to them and gave them doggy kisses. But that's something I didn't think about kids having that feeling of, you know, kind of a bittersweet feeling.
Sure. There's some great foster families out there, and it's hard on both sides when it's time for that, when that child has found their forever home. You know, these are people who have opened their doors to foster children, who've taken care of them, sometimes taken them from really difficult situations, provide them structure, love, guidance, and now it's time for them to go on. So bittersweet it is on both sides. So I want to address that. And, you know, and again, what was it like for the child to leave the home? What did it feel like to have to leave, you know, where they had perhaps gotten comfortable, and now they've got to jump to another environment? So absolutely.
Finally, although your book is helpful to kids, you know, it's a thought starter, I think, for adults about whether or not they might want to consider fostering a child or adopting or even fostering a pet, for goodness sakes. It's a thought starter, don't you think, Jody?
It absolutely is. It's to get a conversation started about anything. I had a really nice email from a gentleman who got the book for his four-year-old daughter, biological child, and he said after reading it with her, she said, would we ever adopt a child? And he said he hadn't thought about it, and they're actually thinking about it now because he thought, what a cool thing to do. And she was sort of up for it, and so it is. It's absolutely a thought starter. It's to get conversations going and hopefully to help people out.
Another thing we have a lot of these days, blended families with their parents remarrying. That's good. This is good for in so many ways. Folks, the title is Roxy the Doxy Finds Her Forever Home, a heartwarming story that will appeal to all children by Jody Dean. She's been our guest on the It's Your Turn program here for the last few minutes. Jody, thanks for talking with us today. Love your book.
Thank you so much.
One of our sponsors on the program today, Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. They're just off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. They package your items for shipping. So convenient. And by the way, you can ship any way you want. FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They package your items for shipping at Gone Postal Butler. Call them for more information on their services, 724-8255.